When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time to welcome in our Monday friend, contributing writer, Huskers Illustrated, Stretch Big Pod, Cardinal fan. It is Jacob Bigelow. Good morning.
Good morning. You didn't have to mention the third part after this past weekend to get my week started, but that's fine. it's all good. Baseball season for me may be over, and the calendar is still in May. So
still softball season.
Question here. Did we just wake you up?
No.
Okay. How long you been up today?
Let's see, 9, so...
5 minutes ago?
2.5 hours. 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Boom. All right. Yeah. All right.
Good on you, man.
Hey, before we talk some basketball, Nick and I, because of other things, haven't been able to dive into the kind of year that Adrian Martinez is having in the UFL. Very few people are watching unless you're in St. Louis, which, God dang it, Stan Kroenke and your love affair for L.A., St. Louis, good football town. They love their Battle Hawks. But everybody else, it's kind of sparse crowds. And watching the Birmingham game on Saturday, Adrian was dealing. The crowd was nowhere to be found. But that's not the point. Adrian Martinez may be the MVP of the UFL, which is fantastic. But when you think of Adrian Martinez's football career that included a stop in Lincoln and then a brief cup of coffee in Manhattan, did he benefit more from his Kansas State year or his Nebraska run?
Well, I think probably in the Nebraska, probably his time at Nebraska, because he was at K-State for just 1 year, right? Or am I?
Yep.
Yeah, just
and
one
it,
year.
And it was, he didn't get to finish the year right. Because of an injury.
Yep, and that's what I thought. You know, I thought he would probably. That's what. Yeah, I thought he. His time in Lincoln was probably more beneficial than, you know, not getting to finish that season because of the injury in Manhattan. But, I mean, not a bad weekend for him, man. I know that league hasn't been around that long, but setting a record with 4 TD passes in a game and carving up a defense, throwing it around the yard, looks pretty good, man. He might just play his way into a contract.
Yeah, you know, he's only thrown one interception, too.
Hey, his situational football awareness is so much better. Mm-hmm. See, I would say Kansas State. He changed his number. He got in shape. Remember, he had to overcome some things before he'd get on the field in Manhattan that were left over from his time at Nebraska. I think his year in Kansas State, that was more the Adrian Martinez that I expected because after his first year, they changed his body, which was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And instead of just letting him play and rip it, they all of a sudden started coaching him with not a great position coach.
That's a fair point, too. I mean, yeah, when I think of his year at K-State, I just think of that Oklahoma game, him going berserker mode in Norman to help them upset OU. That's the game I think of when I think of that season. But, no, that is also a good point by you about what they made him do to his body when he was in Lincoln.
So do we still refer to him as 2 a.m.? Do people at Kansas State that watch him go, hey, that's 9 a.m.?
I never referred to him as either of those, but I did see the Birmingham Stallions Twitter account called him 9 a.m. over the weekend.
Oh.
So maybe you're on to something, but no, I never was a fan of the 2 a.m.
No, he's so diabolical, he gets up earlier than that. He gets up at 2 a.m., not 9 a.m. Come on. Better things happen at 2 a.m. than they do at 9 a.m. if we all remember our previous lives. No?
Hey, I think Mondays at 9 a.m. are fantastic. I don't know about you, Nick.
And it really is good. We have good conversation at 9 a.m. on Monday. So you're right. You're right. That's well played. Well played.
Hey, is there Mr. Stretch Big Pod, is there a Stretch 4 out there for Nebraska?
I know that they are. I I guess right now, kind of keeping an eye on the UCLA guy whose name I'm not going to attempt to pronounce.
He's got a lot of vowels in his last name.
Yeah, a lot of B's and a lot of vowels in there. He's a 6'9", you know, stretch four from Turkey. Ironically enough, he's probably in the portal out of UCLA because UCLA took Will Kyle. But he's definitely one to watch for Nebraska. I would expect, you know, they have the two open scholarships left. I think they'll probably try to fill one because, you know, it's tough to keep a lot of guys happy as is. Would be extra tough to keep 13 scholarship guys happy. So I think they'll leave one open going into next year.
We haven't talked to you since the news of Rink Mass. So your initial reaction, and you knew this was possible, but once it was made final that he would miss this upcoming season, you think about what they've added, what's coming back, but also what they needed. What was your immediate reaction on its impact?
It's definitely got some impact. It unfortunately kind of felt almost inevitable to me. The more time went on and the more talking to people, it kind of almost felt inevitable. And that's unfortunate, obviously heartbroken for Rink, but, you know, like he said in his, you know, the statement he put out, he's thinking about not just, you know, the coming year, but the rest of his life and however, you know, much longer he continues to, you know, play basketball. So, you know, he's thinking about himself, what's best for him, which is, you know, obviously beneficial for him. But from the Nebraska perspective, I mean, I don't think you bring in both Andrew Morgan and Braxton Mia if you're planning to have Rink Mass personally. So I get the sense the staff probably had a feeling that this may was coming or was set in stone for a while. But it's got some impact. But, you know, I think what they brought in on the interior with Mia and Morgan is not a bad swap for a year.
Hey, let me ask you. I think this will be a better defensive team. I do wonder where they're going to get scoring, but I think they're deeper when it comes to one end of the floor. And this fits probably Fred's where he wants to go with his system more than chasing like the big fish out there. But why do you think, because Nick and I have gotten this from our listeners, I'm sure you have as well, why is it almost across the board a meh in what they've added to this roster?
Oh, well, I mean, I think after the way the first three seasons went for Fred, I don't think they're in any hurry to just go after the highest rated guy because he's the highest rated guy. Or, you know, the minute somebody gets their fourth star or they're rated a certain rating, be like, oh, we got to go get that guy. We got to go get that guy. I think they're definitely more, you know, putting an emphasis on schematic fit and culture fit. And I think that in some way, all the guys they've added are one or both. And I think that, you know, the more, you know, I look at, you know, what they brought in, I think the keys are definitely being handed to Bryce Williams on next year's team. I think they are going to expect him to be the main scorer, your wing scorer and your go-to guy down the stretches, especially after how, you know, he finished this past season. I think Bryce Williams is going to be the guy. And I know that many people had, you know, mixed feelings on him this past season. He was kind of like a cat. He was either up in your face, you're like, oh, here's Bryce Williams, or you're like, where's Bryce Williams? Oh, I don't know. He's outside. He's in the garage. Who knows where he is? But I think looking at the way, you know, this roster put together, I think it's set up for him to be the guy.
Okay, speaking of that, Gary brought this question up, or actually it wasn't even a question. It was just a observation on his part about when you come to a Fred Hoiberg system, there are certain players that you look at their past production and we grade off of that of what type of an addition it is to the roster, but then maybe we don't necessarily factor in Fred Hoiberg's system how that could elevate a certain player or players. So when you look at guys like Raleigh Worcester, Andrew Morgan, Connor Sejan, Gavin Griffiths, and we'll even throw in Braxton Mia, is there a name or two names out of that that fit into the discussion we were having, guys that you look at that maybe initially you say, their production was meh, but in Fred Hoiberg's system, look out. Any of those names that you think just under the, under Fred Hoiberg could really elevate their play and have a major impact?
I mean, I think the two that you'd hope for would be Sejan and Griffiths, given the seasons that they just had at their previous stops. I mean, offensively, you know, going from playing for Greg Gard and Steve Peichel to playing for Fred Hoiberg is quite the quite the change, quite the contrast for both of them. So, I mean, I'm sure that's part of, you know, what the pitch was to get them both here. And then, you know, obviously, you know, I've been really high on the Raleigh Worcester edition too. And I mean, I made this point, you know, on the, you know, the podcast I did most recently. You know, what are the two positions that, you know, we always have heard with complaints about with Nebraska basketball? We need a point guard and we need a big man. They have two point guards, assuming Aaron Ulis is eligible. You know, they have two point guards. That's two more than they had last year. And in Mia, they have a, you know, a 7 foot tall, you know, athletic big who's played legitimate minutes in a power conference. So, I mean, that's not a bad place to start them. You know, not trying to preach that it's all rainbows and butterflies, but it's not a bad place to start.
By the way, Jacob and Jacob were back together on the Stretch Big Pod.
Yeah, we had a little reunion for the most recent edition. Me and Padilla. It was good to talk with Padilla again, talking some shop. A little reunion of sorts.
Was it a Derby edition? A Kentucky Derby edition?
I would love to hear Padilla attempt to talk horses. I would pay top dollar. There was not a Kentucky Derby edition.
What do you think Jacob would be more excited to talk about, baseball or the Kentucky Derby?
Probably the Kentucky Derby, to be honest. Derby. Baseball probably ranks below quite a few niche sports in the Padilla sphere, if I had to guess.
So I always do, but this one in particular, because it's two hoop heads that are talking in a whole different stratosphere about Nebraska basketball and the portal and everything. So as kind of the portal is closed, but it is still open for acquisitions, what do you believe is the truth about NIL when it comes to Nebraska basketball? Resources that are available, how they want to use them. There's a lot of, like, I don't know, misinformation out there, or the truth is being told. Where do you stand on what Nebraska's NIL is for basketball is right now?
Well, as always, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think that.
Thank you, Dr. Zhivago.
I think there is. There's certainly more in the war chest than there was going into last year, but it's not, you know, there's still some room, you know, to be desired, from what I've heard and what I've been told. I think that there, you know, there's still work to do, and you know, that comes off the fact that it was, you know, the first, you know, really good season in a decade, and, you know, still trying to, you know, build some momentum and, you know, all that. But I think it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're a mid-major, you know, struggling to, you know, keep the guys on the team fed. But I don't think they're the, you know, the New York Yankees by any means in the NIL sphere. I think they're somewhere in the middle.
The appeal of Nebraska basketball, and NIL aside for a moment, just the overall profile of the program. Fred Hoiberg is the head coach. I know I hold Fred in a high regard, especially when he came here, knowing how good he was at Iowa State. How, if there are tiers, and we'll call the first tier, you know, those top 25 blue blood type of programs, when it comes to just the overall profile, what a program has to offer, where would you put Nebraska based on what they have right now?
I mean, there's a good amount to offer. I mean, in the fan support, the arena you play in, the facilities that are available to you, you know, there's plenty to offer. I mean, it's just, you know, it comes back to the one thing that's missing is the tradition and the history. You know, those are, you know, the only things that are kind of, you know, missing from the ledger. I mean, they've got a great coach who runs a pro style offense. They've got a building that's, you know, pretty packed every, you know, each and every night. a lot of support and, you know, a lot of, you know, good infrastructure, you know, in place in Lincoln. So if they could string together a couple, you know, successful seasons in a row, then you could really, you know, be cooking with peanut oil.
But doesn't that mean you have to be in the tournament this year?
I would say so, yes.
To continue momentum? Because they do have good momentum in their program.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
Thank you. Now go about your business. What do you got? What are you doing on Monday? What are you doing today?
I don't think we're playing softball tonight.
Hey, you never know.
The weather forecast.
What time is the game supposed to be at?
Close the roof.
Supposed to be the early slate again. Supposed to be 6:15. Okay. So got that going. Yeah, I don't think that's happening. So I think I'll probably just be at home watching basketball tonight. Yeah,
one out of the Mile High City or 2-0.
I think 1-1, but I would not be shocked if it's 2-0. Would not be shocked by any means.
All right. Anthony Edwards is 22 years old. There were players in the NCAA tournament that were older than him. Just keep that in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the college basketball sicko brain of mine just makes me think, why the hell was he playing for Tom Crean in his 1 year at Georgia? That's one of the thoughts I had recently. Why was he playing for Tom Crean? But anyway.
Well, there were people that knocked the Timberwolves when they drafted him because, remember, he talked about having other interests besides basketball when he first got drafted. And people are like, whoa, because he was a good baseball player as well. But he is, he might be the answer to a question. Can you be a star in the NBA, the number one star, without being the number one player?
Yeah, I mean, he's making a strong case. I mean, he's kind of got the total package right now. He's on an ascension, you know, in the playoffs, putting people on notice, and then, you know, his personality, you know, off the court, it's kind of the perfect package. And then he'll be playing for Team USA in Paris this summer too. So, you know, I hope you're not tired of Anthony Edwards, because he's going to be on the forefront of the basketball discourse for quite some time here.
And let's just hope that he stays in. I think you try and make him a Timberwolf for life and not have a Lillard situation from Portland to Milwaukee. He's locked up for the next 5 years. I don't think you let him ever leave Minnesota, if he can.
I would agree.
But it's going to
I would agree.
It's going to take pieces around him, and they may have found the formula. This series is going to go seven. This will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a ton of fun. I mean, he said it best in that one interview. Yeah, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. I mean, he's making the most of the pieces around him so far. But
all right. Thanks, Jacob.
Yep. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
That's Jacob Bigelow. Knicks and the Pacers tonight. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go.
That's why it's stuck in my head. I was trying to remember this.
We here, Knick fans.
I'm okay with it.
And then you have game two between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, where Rudy Gobert is actually doing Rudy Gobert things.
Defensive
Licking
player of the year as well. Yeah. That was that when he hit rock bottom? Right before the...
Well, when he tested positive.
I don't know, watching him play last year, I think that was pretty much rock bottom.
By the way, good suggestion by M. Bigley on Jacob Bigelow that we need bump intro music, which I agree. Just a Gigolo from Van Halen, the David Lee Roth Van Halen, which is obviously far greater than Van Hagar. But yes, I do. I think there's something to work with there. So can we make that happen, Jimmy?
I already told M. Bigley we would.
Excellent.
Amy Jess, what music should she have as her open? We'll let her decide.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
She was out in Western Nebraska.
Sandstorm.
I think that she took the train back. I think she just got back. So she'll
take Megabus.
Join us.
Did we get a Megabus conversation during the crossover?
Because I wanted to take the Megabus from here to Chicago, but I only wanted to do it if I was the first in, so I could get the dollar fare. So I tried one time, and I was like the 12th person. I ain't spending $12 to get on the Megabus. I might lose my life.
That's true.
My life is...
It's a high-profile vehicle.
Not everybody might agree with this. I think my life is worth more than $12.
Yeah. Inflation, $1.59.
I don't know if the Megabus went west. I thought it was always going east.
I think it always went east, yeah. I thought maybe Megabus has evolved, though. You know, you feel like you only go one direction. Come on. You got to expand if you want to maintain business. Right? People got needs. People want to head out west. We actually don't know if they have Megabus as well. I think we were.
You want to head out west? Get off at 370. That Gretna Hy-Vee is awesome.
It is. Good morning, guys.
Amy Justice coming up next on 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.